On the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda, join Raven Simone and her partner Miranda Mayday as they and celebrity guests like Demi Lovato and Meghan Trainor engage in unusual conversations.
Every episode, we'll spin a wheel of random words from things like animosity to something like zodiac, and whatever it lands on, that's what we're going to talk about for around an hour.
Think we can't do it? Well, then you've never heard us talk.
Listen to the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lies, exploitation, and the American dream turned nightmare. This is Big Sugar, a deep dive into the inner workings of the sugar industry. I'm Celeste Headlee, and in a new podcast, I'm investigating a true crime story like no other about the men who risked their lives to cut sugarcane. From iHeartMedia, I'll unravel a decades-long fight to get justice. Listen to Big Sugar on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Carol Fisher, and I'm hosting a podcast called The Girlfriends. Back in the 1990s in Las Vegas, a few of us dated the most eligible bachelor in town, Bob.
He spoke several languages. He did medical missionary work, and he was Jewish. He was perfect on paper.
But he wasn't. He really wasn't.
He choked her to the point she went unconscious.
Bob could lie about anything.
It only takes the one time, and somebody ends up dead.
Unfortunately for Bob, us girlfriends know how to fight back.
I wanted him to pay for his crime. He needed to be put to justice.
I'll be honest with you, if I saw him right now, I'd spit on him.
I would call him, and I would say, I know you killed my sister. I will always hound you and haunt you.
You can listen to The Girlfriends on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to What Future? I am your host, Joshua Topolsky. And today on the show, we've got very important things to talk about. We've got very present, recent, shocking, upsetting, thrilling things to discuss. I'm, of course, talking about what's going on with Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and social media online. Yeah, there's a lot happening. There's a lot going on out there. There's a whole new landscape. And I wanted to get the world's foremost expert into the show to talk about it. So we dialed up our friend, Casey Newton, who is an absolute genius and scoop machine, you might say, when it comes to social media and frankly, lots of other things. And I just needed to talk to him. I had to get him here and figure out what the hell what's going on. So let's get into it. Casey, thank you for coming back on the podcast.
It's my sincere pleasure. Thank you for having me, Josh.
I love that. Just be generous as always.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow, really quickly, we're going to talk about what we need to talk about, which is Threads.
Yeah.
But before that, I was telling Jenna a story and I feel like I need to finish it, and you should hear it too, because
you
deserve it. I went to a ear, nose, and throat specialist today, and long and short, I got a probe into that they put up my nose that went into like my throat. She's like, this will feel a little uncomfortable. And I was like, please take that out of my nose. Please take that out of my nose. Please take it out of my nose. It was supremely uncomfortable. And she was just like jerking it around in there, like snaking it around.
Right.
It's fucking. Anyhow, just that was the experience I had before the podcast. So I want you to know I'm in a pretty fragile state right now.
That sounds terrible. What's the prognosis for you?
I have a deviated septum. No shit, Sherlock. I have a huge nose with a bump in it. So she's like, well, you do have a little bit of a deviated septum. I'm like, really? I didn't know that by looking at my face. It's like, you didn't need to go all the way into my mouth with the probe to know that I have a deviated. She's like, anyhow, whatever. This the prognosis is I need to probably get some stuff done to my nose to make it more beautiful and more less Jewish. No, I
need to rhinoplasty. Is rhinoplasty?
No,
in your
she's
future?
Like we can like clear. We can make it more clear inside, which is basically what I want because I can't really like breathe through it. So,
yeah, man.
Anyhow, so I'm excited about getting some elective surgery. Maybe I guess because they're like you don't need to, but it you'll be more comfortable.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Speaking of things going up your nose. Elon Musk recently tweeted that he and Mark Zuckerberg should have an actual penis measuring contest. Is this correct?
Yep. That's right. That's where we're at.
I'm sure he was sober when he hit send on that guy. Yeah.
Famously sober Elon Musk.
Famously sober and normal person Elon Musk. Okay, let's back up. Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
The year is 1985 and Microsoft has just introduced MS-DOS. No. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like also got like no sleep last night. So I'm in a rare place.
Because of your nose or because of something else?
Oh, I don't know. Just everything. Okay. Just life. Just the pressures of life.
Just life. Yeah. All those loose things in your house.
Because and also my air conditioner is not working in here. So it's very hot.
Oh, God. Is it great? That's not good. When it rains, it pours.
It's been pouring here, actually, in New York. So,
well, there you go.
For the listener who listens to the show but doesn't know what's going on social media, which has got to be like one weird guy who accidentally subscribed to this. But can you just set up a little bit about what has just happened in the world of social media? Just like in terms of, I'll just say Facebook has launched a new product called Threads. Can you just talk a little bit about what Threads is and where it came from?
Yeah. Threads is a Twitter clone that was created to destroy Twitter.
No, not a clone. No, they're like, it's not a clone. It just looks, it works exactly the same.
Yeah. They've said it's not a clone. It is a clone. And within 3 days, it had 100 million users. And so, you know.
Wait, real quickly, what are the active users of Twitter number wise?
It's very hard to say because they've lost so many users this year and they don't report numbers publicly anymore. But let's assume it's between 200 and 300 million.
Okay. So in 5 days, is it? Threads, which is a Twitter clone that Facebook has introduced, has a third of the audience of Twitter, which has been in business for like 17 years or something.
Yeah, that's okay. Right.
All right.
Now we should say that this number is the 100 million for Threads is like essentially the number of people who've created an account and downloaded the app. The Twitter number is sort of active users. So it remains to be seen of that 100 million, how many of them are still using it in 30 days. But I think odds are good that this thing is going to be legit.
Right. So Mark Zuckerberg and who is the head of Instagram? Adam Mosseri.
Yep.
Yeah. They're like, Twitter is being run awfully by Elon Musk. And we could just maybe turn on a Twitter clone and then like extinguish Twitter. Is that the idea, do you think, for Threads?
Yeah, basically. So look, you know, it did not take long after Elon Musk took over Twitter in October of last year to realize that he was tanking it, right? Every single decision he made was worse than the one that came before it. And so by December, the folks inside Facebook are saying, should we maybe just take another run at this? Because, of course, they had tried over the years a lot of different things to compete with Twitter. None of them had really taken off. But because Elon Musk was alienating so many Twitter users, all of a sudden it looked like there might be this real opportunity. So they got to work in it in December, and we finally saw the fruits of their labor this month.
Yeah, which is like pretty much like Twitter.
Yeah.
Except the people who are popular on there are people who are historically popular for not talking. And like looking like something or doing something that you look at, because like you basically ported Instagram. It's like it's connected to, I think it's worth saying.
Yeah.
And this is a brilliant strategy on their part. If there was anything in the Facebook universe that felt like it was like, you know, if you've got Twitter on your home screen right next to it, there's going to be a thing you're bouncing over to probably. It's Instagram, right? Which is a far more popular, far more used social network. I mean, it's got like a billion users, more
over a billion,
over a billion,
over a billion,
right?
Users.
But it's obviously a photo and now video sharing app primarily. I have already patted myself on the back on Threads. I will pat myself on the back on my podcast. I wrote in for a thing at the New Yorker about how Twitter sucked. Actually, it's amazing because I went and reread it and it's like everything that sucked about Twitter in 2016 under Jack Dorsey It's the same stuff that sucks under Elon Musk, but it's like way super duper magnified. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like harassment and like bad moderation and confusing policies and a product that doesn't really work that well. It's like exactly the same shit. And in that piece, I was like, you know, if Instagram wanted to like probably immediately kill Twitter, they could just make a text-based version of Instagram or whatever. And it's like literally what they were like, hey, we have a cool social network that everybody's staring at all the time.
So yes, let's just because look at the Threads product today. If they had rolled it out in 2019, you and I would be rolling our eyes out of the back of our heads. Yes. We would have said, this is the least, like, we would say they're not even trying. This thing isn't one iota different than Twitter.
Right.
It is dead on arrival.
Correct.
What changed is Twitter tanked so hard that a bare bones copy of it run by a sort of more competent organization just instantly rocketed into superstardom.
Right. It is. I mean, there are some differences, we should say. It does not yet present a chronological feed, which is the business for Twitter for most users, I think.
Well, not for most, but for a lot of diehard users, it is important to see a reverse cron feed.
For the most important ones. For the 10% of people who create 90% of the content on Twitter, the chronological feed is somewhat important.
True.
But they say, Facebook says it's coming, Meta or whatever they're called these days. Mm-hmm. And also Mark Zuckerberg posts on it, which is a thing that he's not. He only has done one post in like 11 years or something on Twitter. And it was the Spider-Man pointing at each other meme, which is like kind of, I mean, poking the bull or whatever the saying is, like, if you don't want to make someone think that you've copied their product, I would personally, if I copied someone's product, I would not post on their product with a thing that's like a copy of a thing pointing to the thing that is the real thing. I mean, that's, you know,
right.
One man's opinion.
I mean, look, I think the meme was funny, but also they are on thread saying we're not trying to clone Twitter. And then you use the Spider-Man meme that means, oh, look, these two things are the same. So you kind of got to pick one.
Yes, exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, if there is ever a court case, which there won't be, because like, honestly, you can't really make an argument that Twitter does anything particularly special at this point. Like,
no,
it's a feed of words, which is basically every blog in the world. Like, if you really want to get down to it, they're small blogs. It's a micro blog, which is exactly what it would have been known as like 10 years ago. And like, that's not really, you can't really trademark that shit at this point, you know?
No, also, do you know how many patents Facebook has around social networks and feeds and stuff?
Right. I
mean, like they both the ones they filed and the ones they bought, like they're going to win that fight if it comes to court, which, as you point out, it's not.
They're like, oh, do you want us to have the conversation about who has more patents on like words on a screen or whatever the fuck it is?
Yeah.
So Twitter's just so fucking bad and gross and depressing and full of like Nazis and like Elon Musk fanboys and whatever. Like, I hardly ever look at it. I was messing around with Blue Sky when it came out, when I got, I mean, you were, I think I might've bullied you about using Blue Sky or something. Mastodon, I bullied you about using one of the wannabe social networks. I think it was Mastodon.
I've been using all of them. It's very important to me that something replaced Twitter, because Twitter is not just a source of enjoyment for me. It's like part of how I run my business is by like posting things in public to try to get people to click on them and maybe pay me money. So I was going to be flogging all of these things, right? And, you know, Blue Sky had its moment, but it just didn't move. You know, the sort of recurring theme of all these things is they just didn't move fast enough. And then, you know, along comes Meta.
Yeah, I mean, Blue Sky has like 150,000 users, 150,000 or something like that. Mastodon has millions, but it's like, it's not like a centrally managed thing. It just feels like you don't know what the hell. It's very hard to get started on Mastodon, like just in terms of usability, right? I think like what Threads has done, besides having a built-in social media ready audience, like the audience was sitting there. It's like you already are communicating probably every day with people on their other platform in that fashion. So it's just fewer pictures and more talking, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to like put the cart before the horse. I know everybody's like, oh, Twitter's going to rally or whatever. But like, I don't feel.
No, wait, everybody is saying
like,
that?
I feel like I have seen people say, oh, it's the early days, you know.
Well, that's true.
You know, it's going to even out. People be less excited because this happened with all that other stuff we were just talking about. Like, people are like, oh my God, like Blue Sky, there's a fucking articles in the New York Times about it. There's like 50,000 people signed up for it. Like, you know, it's like then it died down and everybody's like, okay, well, back to Twitter, I guess. But this is like, I feel like a lot of the people that I want to follow and know and care about listening to on social media are already there.
Yes.
It's harder to find them at this point, but they're there.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's not run by Elon Musk, which this is the weirdest thing of all of this is like somehow Mark Zuckerberg has become like he looks good in this scenario, which is unheard of for him. Unheard of, basically.
Yeah, there's been a real sort of reversal of perception. And I think it just speaks to the fact that for all of the crap that people gave Twitter over the years, much of it justified, people really did love the role that it played, right? They wanted something to play that role. Right. And when it started to go wonky, they missed it. And then Zuckerberg comes along and says, I can do it. And the fact that he happens to be in this hugely entertaining personal feud with Musk just makes it all the better.
Yeah.
There's something that you haven't brought up, Josh, that I think is super important, which is the rate limiting fiasco, because it actually explains a lot, I think, about how we got here.
Oh, yes. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I have been fairly tuned out from the rate limiting fiasco because, as I said, I have kind of abandoned Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, I've caught a little bit of it, but I think for a lot of people listening, like it's a fairly complicated little story. Can you give us the narrative? Yeah.
Well, you know, the gist is that for a bunch of reasons, they decided that they were going to restrict people from viewing more than 600 tweets in a day. Unless you paid Elon Musk money, you could only look at 600 tweets in a day.
Right.
And that might sound like a lot. But, you know, if you're spending 15 or 20 minutes browsing, which I don't think is a crazy amount of time to be browsing a social network.
I'm going to just browse while you're talking. I'll see if I can hit. Okay, I want to see what happens.
Yeah, just see if you can hit the limit.
Go ahead.
Yeah, see if you can hit the limit. And, you know, you dip into replies, you look at some profiles, all of a sudden you've hit your 600 limit. So, you know, even in its sort of decaying state, I would still have Twitter open on my desktop and just glance over it occasionally to see if there was some piece of breaking news or whatever. When the rate limiting thing happened, roughly a week from the time that we're recording this ago, it just stopped scrolling. New tweets stopped loading. You just got a message that said you've exceeded your rate limit. So it became literally worthless in the sense that you couldn't even see anything that was happening there. So, you know, earlier we were talking about how news junkies want that chronological feed because they want to know what's happening right the second. Twitter actually stopped serving that purpose. So that was the moment that Meta saw. And when they saw that, they said, we're going to accelerate the launch of Threads by a week because we know that this is our time to strike. So they actually did something really savvy, which is they seized on the absurd opportunity that Elon Musk had created for them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, first off, I'm scrolling Twitter and I honestly am impressed that people continue to post on here. I have to say, like, I understand there's an...
It's disgusting to
like
me.
Like, I have posted a few things.
It's like watching people smoke. That's how I feel about it.
Actually, I did not post the last episode of the show, on Twitter. I will probably post this, but then I'm kind of like, maybe, but like, I'd probably get better engagement on Threads where I have like, I don't know, 7,000 followers or something, like not nearly as many, but like they're actually interacting with me and seeing my content.
Yeah.
I'm just dying to get to this rate limit.
Bachelor Nation, can we steal you for a second? Bachelor Happy Hour, the one and only official Bachelor Nation podcast, is back. Go behind the scenes with your hosts, Bachelor in Paradise Season 7 newlyweds, Joe Immobile and Serena Pitt, for real stories about what happens in Bachelor Mansion.
Here on Bachelor Happy Hour, we'll be putting all the guys in the hot seat. We'll have exclusive interviews. We'll be the first to talk to the men. We're going to bring the drama into the house and leave probably brokenhearted.
Joe and Serena chat with fellow Bachelor alumni and current cast members who reveal firsthand details about the show that you simply won't hear anywhere else. This is your home for all things Bachelor Nation.
We'll also be breaking down each episode and we'll have some juicy insider secrets along the way.
New season, new love stories, new drama.
Pour yourself a drink because the most dramatic season has just begun.
Listen to Bachelor Happy Hour on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda, you'll hear, well, the best podcast ever. Join Raven Simone and her partner Miranda Mayday as they let the wheel of words determine the topic of that week's show.
Every episode, we'll spin a wheel of random words from things like animosity to something like zodiac. And whatever it lands on, that's what we're going to talk about for around an hour.
Think we can't do it? Well, then you've never heard us talk.
Each week, Raven and Miranda and celebrity guests like Demi Lovato, Kiki Palmer, and Meghan Trainor will spin the fateful wheel. And then the conversation will begin.
Also, we're going to have a ton of amazing guests because you don't want to just hear us two all the time, do you? Yes, you do. And somehow we're going to start with something like Spider and end with, well, when was your last nervous breakdown?
Listen to the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
lies, exploitation, and the American dream turned nightmare. This is Big Sugar, a deep dive into the inner workings of the sugar industry. I'm Celeste Headlee, and in a new podcast, I'm investigating a true crime story like no other, about the men who risked their lives to cut sugarcane. In Big Sugar, from iHeartMedia, Imagine Audio, and the teams at Weekday Fun and Novel, I'll unravel a decades-long fight to get justice.
If they were right, then these workers were owed tens of millions of dollars in extra wages.
I felt ashamed as an American.
And the lengths people will go to hide the truth.
The sugar lobby is one of the most powerful lobbies in the country.
They have boatloads of money.
Listen to Big Sugar on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think he did the rate limiting because, like, he's not paying his, like, server bills and, like, they don't have enough capacity?
I mean, they have been radically reducing their investment in just kind of the basic infrastructure that you need to run the site. So they went from, I believe it was 3 data centers down to 2. They may be trying to go to 1, you know, right. A platformer, my newsletter, we published a story a month or so ago that they hadn't been paying their Google Cloud bill. That has now been resolved. But yes, I mean, I do think that there is a chance that that is the case. And we're actually still reporting that story out. So, you know, if you're a platform or subscriber, hopefully you'll learn more about that soon.
Ooh, well, I'm very interested to learn more about all the stupid things that are happening at Twitter. I mean, is there what's the latest piece of reporting you've done on this? Like, what's the I don't know if you can talk about something you're working on now, but I'm curious, like.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're talking to anybody inside of Twitter, like if there's been a reaction there. I feel like you probably might be.
What I can say is just that chaos continues to reign. You know, they have this new CEO, Linda Yaccarino, who sort of made a big show of saying, hey, I'm here to make this website safe for brands and we're going to get this advertising engine spun up again. And then it was like a week later that the rate limiting thing happened. And so all of a sudden, you know, if you're an advertiser, like your reach has been dramatically reduced.
Right. You're like, oh, so you'll stop showing stuff after 600 views of content. Like that's actually on that note. That's like the kind of like worst website in the world doesn't do that. You know, it might break, I guess, if it gets over capacity, but
exactly.
You know, I mean, like that basically would kill ad viewability for a lot of people, right? I mean,
absolutely. Yes.
I actually kind of didn't contemplate how insane the rate limiting thing is. It's like, it's so bizarro. It's just such a crazy, weird move. I mean, at this point, it kind of feels like, and I don't know if you have any insight on this or thoughts, but like, is Elon Musk just trying to do it in? Like, does he just want to devalue it so much that he can like get some kind of like write off, like some tax write off for it?
So there is this pretty good theory. There's a reporter, William Cohen at Puck, who's written pretty persuasively about this, that it does seem like whether intentionally or not that Twitter is cruising for a bankruptcy in part because it is simply not paying a lot of its debts.
Right.
And so at a certain point, a handful of its creditors can come together and say, this guy isn't paying our debts and we can essentially force them into an involuntary bankruptcy.
Right.
Now, which sounds bad for Elon Musk. However, if it happens, the debt that he took on to acquire Twitter could possibly be reduced by something like $13 billion.
Right.
So if Elon tanks it, he might wind up, you know, saving himself a cool $13 billion.
Okay, maybe this is a naive question to ask, but wouldn't some kind of the governing body that handles bankruptcies be able to look at his behavior and say, well, you didn't actually try to run the company properly. Like you basically decided to bankrupt it. I mean, can you, cause like, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like there'd be a law against people going like, I ran my business bad on purpose so I could bankrupt it and get out of a tax bill or whatever, get out of my debt, paying my debt. Like people would do that all the time, I would imagine. Right.
You're right. And yet I feel like, unfortunately, we live in a society where there are almost no consequences for billionaires. I don't know. It's concerning, as Elon Musk would say.
Right. And do you think the thread's unfinished at that point? Like when they decided to launch it, like, do you think it was like, hey, we have an opportunity. He's really blown it. We have a product that's like good enough.
Yep.
Do you feel like it's an unfinished product right now?
Yeah, I think they want to spend another week polishing it. and there was probably some stuff that might have gotten added to the product, but now they're just spending all their time trying to keep the site afloat because they did not expect to have $100 million users in 3 days.
You don't think they did?
No, but it was basically ready. I just think it would have come out, maybe a week later.
Right. Like, because you can't, it's very hard to find people on. It's very hard to follow people. It keeps,
yeah.
It really wants me to follow Demi Lovato, like more than anything.
Do it, Josh. Follow Demi Lovato.
I have to tell you, one of the things about Threads that has been fascinating is it has exposed how much like vapidity there is amongst people who post on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like the stuff I'm seeing on Threads is some of the all time worst posting that I've ever seen in like in my life.
Yeah. I've seen many varieties of bad posts, but the one that sticks with me is I keep seeing these accounts that have that include the word betch in their name.
Yes.
Like bitch with an E, which was like something that like millennial women would say in the early 2000s. And I guess, they created these Instagram accounts. That's like dumb betch. And they post this like, relatable like jokes for for women. And that's fine on Instagram, but you put it on something like Twitter and it you just could not cringe harder.
No. It's there's a kind of avalanche of crazy shit that I'm seeing. First off, on day one, it was especially chaotic because I hadn't really followed them. It definitely is like picking up on who I'm following and then like giving me more of that stuff. But on day one, it was just like, hey, we turned on all the stuff for you. Like, just check out what's coming out from all over Threads. And it was like, one thing was like Gary Vee doing some inspirational stuff about hustling, culture. And then it was like a fucking F1 thing, it was like, who's your favorite F1 racer? And then it's like accounts like you're like fuck Jerry and like the betch accounts or whatever that are like trying to do their meme thing. They're trying like, and it's so, it's like the most desperate shit because they like showed up and they're like, oh shit, I only have like 40,000 followers. And on Instagram, I have like 40 million followers. And they're like, the shit like Hypebeast is the one that gets under my skin the most, to be honest with you. Which is if you're listening, you don't know. Hypebeast is a brand that covers streetwear.
Yeah.
It's on the cutting edge of fashion culture. It is like probably actually in the last like 10 or 15 years, one of the most important like blogs that exists because it kind of captured this moment in streetwear that happened that kind of when it took over the fashion industry. And they are posting shit. And I don't even know if the people at Hypebeast know that they're posting this. They're posting shit on Threads like, what did you have for breakfast?
Yes, completely.
Or do you pour the milk in first or the cereal first? And I'm like, this is not only is it not aligned with your shit at all, like just absolutely out of alignment with what you do, but it is like the worst, dumbest, lamest, most boring posting I've ever seen.
Yeah. Here's what's going on. There's a land rush going on. There's a gold rush. There's a gold rush and a land grab because people know that if you can get fast early on a site like this, you'll have that big follower count forever. And so you have these people that are just going hog wild. Like the Nike account yesterday I saw.
Yeah.
This was just like sort of served up to me. I do not follow Nike. And it just posted a drop your favorite shoe in the comments.
Yeah.
It's just like nobody, like who's going to just read like 500 replies about favorite shoes? Come
but
on.
But they're fucking people are replying. Like the, I'm going to look at the Hypebeast thing. The Hypebeast thing got.
Let's look at the Hypebeast
account. I want to look at the replies to this. I screenshotted one and then I reposted the other because I didn't want to amplify them anymore.
Yeah.
Morning. How do you like your eggs? 813. This was yesterday. 813 replies, 1,251 likes. Someone fucking hit like on that. On Morning Threader, cereal first or milk first, 1,184 replies, 1,545 likes. And you know what? The Hypebeast account, 611,000 followers are crushing it. They're doing very well for themselves right now.
But look, if you look at the ratios, because they do have all those followers, and yet 3 hours ago they posted, quote, not even 11 a.m. here in NYC, and I'm already thinking about lunch LMAO.
Yeah.
And that's only got 800 likes. So,
I'll tell you one thing, and this is true of all of these new social networks. It has made me reevaluate my existence on the internet. Like, I'm kind of like, I think you're probably the same way. You spent probably most of your time building your following on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because that's where the journalists talk. Yeah. Like, that's where you post your story.
That's where the action was.
Right. Like, for a long time, like, if you had a great scoop or if you wanted to talk to, like, other people in the media who you wanted to see your story or just people who were media junkies, Twitter's the place, right? That's just, like, where they go.
Yeah.
And now it's like, again, the engagement's actually way better on almost all of these other social networks. But I'm like, do I even want to, and you know, maybe I'm speaking from a very rare position. Like, you know, I probably don't need to necessarily have a huge social media following, though my producers of the show would definitely say otherwise.
And when you say you're speaking from a special position, do you mean as someone with a deviated septum?
I mean, as someone who has been probed today and has a deviated septum. You know, it's funny but after the probing, I was like, I think like that helped a little bit. Like maybe I should just be probing. Maybe that's what I need in my life. Yeah, no, like I'm like at a point, I think in my career and with what I do, like I think I can just do what I do and not have to worry too much about like whether somebody saw like my story.
Yeah, you're above it all. Above you've it made all. Your I'm money. Above. You don't need these unwashed masses.
I'm in the smoky leather chair filled smoke filled rooms where I'm in the room where it happens currently. So
yeah. Peter Thiel doesn't post and neither does Josh Topolsky. Okay, guys, they made it. Yeah,
that's right. We don't. And when we meet for our special club of very important people
for your infusions of twink blood. Yeah,
it's so great not posting, isn't it? I would love to spend even a little bit of time with Peter Thiel. It would be so fucking weird.
You should have him on the pod. Yeah. He loves talking to
I don't think he'd do it. I don't think he'd do it. But hey, Jenna, can you put on the list after RFK Jr. and the liver man? Is that what the guy we were talking about last week? Can you add Peter Thiel to the podcast booking list? Thank you. Anyhow. So it's kind of like, it's interesting, but like, I don't know, how many followers do you have on Threads? And this is not, I'm not trying to do a dick measuring competition like Elon Musk has to do.
Yeah, wow. Well, let me just whip this out, John.
Yeah, just whip it out.
I've got 26,000.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm kind of like, do I want to put, and this is, I think, an interesting question for a lot of people, actually. And I feel like Twitter, and tell me if you sense this or feel this at all, the Twitter has accelerated this feeling of insane fatigue, social media fatigue, and like this idea of like, do I need to be looking at this shit? And do I want to be looking at this shit? And like, is it healthy or is it doing anything for me? My feeling has been like over the last couple of years, but especially since Elon took over Twitter, I'm like, I think I just don't, I can just not look at it and it's okay. Like, I'm okay.
Well, I think you're getting at something real, which is that a lot of the appeal of social networks, particularly new social networks, they are a place where people can build status and clout. You can establish yourself. You can gain a reputation for something. Maybe that even turns to money for you if you associate it with some sort of business, right? And then there are other people, and we could, for example, just call them like people in their 40s who have already achieved their status and their clout. And so they don't need to race into it. But they feel bad because they know that it is actually cool to participate in new social networks. So they just feel the spiritual exhaustion of not needing to participate, but realize that not participating indicates that they've given up on their lives.
You think it's an age thing? That's interesting. I think it's more like a amount of time I've been blanched in social media. Someone put the spinach in, you know, and it's a big full.
Yeah.
It's a huge amount of spinach. And then it's just been in the water for a pretty long time. And now there's just one little tiny speck of spinach in there. That's how my feeling is about social media in general. And I don't know if it's my age. Obviously I've been doing it a long time, but I also think it's like, social media doesn't feel like it's getting better or more interesting. It feels like it's getting less good and less interesting.
I mean, it's as good or it's as interesting as it ever was. I think it just sort of depends on, you know, where are you in your life? What role is this playing?
I disagree with that because I think there's this general fatigue with like the amount of stuff that people have been getting in their like in their diet generally.
Josh. No, you're insane. You're insane. Yeah. Josh, 100 million people didn't just download this app in 3 days because of their social media fatigue.
But think about who downloaded
people
it.
People love the slop that's coming out.
Okay, but you know, that's a qualified audience, okay? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not, it's not 100 million
new. No, I don't.
It's not 100 million new people. It's 100 million people from Instagram. Okay. They're not brand new. They didn't happen by, do you know what I'm saying?
Is that your standard that in order for me to prove that there is no social media fatigue, 100 million people who've never tried social media before in 2023 have to use it?
I'm just saying, like, and I'm not trying to agree with Elon Musk or anything here, by the way, I'm saying that,
but he does have some interesting ideas about Western civilization.
If you have a big, he's got some interesting ideas. He's got some very interesting ideas, as do his followers. I'm saying that if you have an audience of 1 billion people,
which is what I'm trying to do,
you're like, hey guys, you want to try this new thing we're doing? And 100 million people do try it. I'm not as impressed as if you are like, here's a new thing that you have to sign up for. I think there is a difference. I mean, I'm just saying that I believe there's a difference. And I think that if you looked at the weight of new signups to Threads versus people who came over from Instagram and ported their account, it's probably like 99% people from Instagram.
I mean, sure. But also, like, Meta launches new apps all the time and no one ever uses them. I mean, this is the first hit yeah. they have had in years.
No, it's true. But there again, I think they've done a masterful move here. And I agree that I don't think that like everybody's like, fuck social media. And I'm not saying that the 100 million number isn't significant, because it is super significant. It's insane. I do think there is a perfect storm. I do think that a lot of the people who are on Twitter feel like it has degraded in quality. Plus, it's very easy if you already are on another social network to get onto Threads. Like, there's no waiting list. There's no fucking sign up for a weird server. It's literally like, hey, do you want to check this out? And like, you hit a button and then you're on Threads.
Yeah.
It's like, it literally imports your bio and your photo and everything. Right. So
yeah,
it's like very plug and play in that sense. So I think it's the test of time is what I'm sort of more talking about with Threads. Like, will it become a thriving, enjoyable social media experience? Like, I think we can all argue for the most part that Instagram has found a way to become, for the most part, an enjoyable social media experience, even in the face of all this bullshit. Yeah. TikTok, clearly an enjoyable social media experience, even in the face of all this bullshit. There's not a lot. Snapchat, I guess, still has an audience. Twitter's fucking out. Twitter's on its way out one way or another, I think.
Yeah.
It's not going to come back. I don't think it comes back. But does Threads become, does it actually become like a new Twitter?
Well, you know, I've written in the past about this idea of like pop-up social networks, which are kind of like pop-up restaurants in your neighborhood, where basically they're serving the same ingredients you've had at other places, but because it's new and it's shiny, the foodies flock there and they rave about it on Yelp. And for like 10 minutes, it seems like the biggest deal in the world. But then eventually everyone goes back to the restaurants that they used to eat at. And that has like been the case like of like
Cronut Peach or whatever,
and Ello and Mastodon. Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, so. But here's the thing, like, I don't think Threads is the Cronut, because it already has this critical mass of users who actually want it to succeed, right? Like, when Peach or Ello came along, we already had working social networks. There wasn't this hunger for a replacement for any of them. And so they kind of faded away. Twitter is in a literal death spiral. You can only look at it for like 15 minutes a day before it explodes. Who knows if the app will even load when you tap it on your phone? Right. So we are just in a different world than we were in when those other networks launched. It's always risky to make a bet about what's going to happen to a social network on day 4. But like, is there a chance that this thing has the juice? Yes, there is a chance.
Bachelor Nation, can we steal you for a second? Bachelor Happy Hour, the one and only official Bachelor Nation podcast, is back. Go behind the scenes with your hosts, Bachelor in Paradise Season 7 newlyweds Joe Immobile and Serena Pitt, for real stories about what happens in Bachelor Mansion.
Here on Bachelor Happy Hour, we'll be putting all the guys in the hot seat. We'll have exclusive interviews. We'll be the first to talk to the men. We're going to bring the drama into the house and leave probably brokenhearted.
Joe and Serena chat with fellow Bachelor alumni and current cast members, who reveal firsthand details about the show that you simply won't hear anywhere else. This is your home for all things Bachelor Nation.
We'll also be breaking down each episode, and we'll have some juicy insider secrets along the way.
New season, new love stories, new drama.
Pour yourself a drink, because the most dramatic season has just begun.
Listen to Bachelor Happy Hour on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda, you'll hear, well, the best podcast ever. Join Raven Simone and her partner Miranda Mayday as they let the wheel of words determine the topic of that week's show.
Every episode, we'll spin a wheel of random words, from things like animosity to something like zodiac. And whatever it lands on, that's what we're going to talk about for around an hour.
Think we can't do it? Well, then you've never heard us talk.
Each week, Raven and Miranda and celebrity guests like Demi Lovato, Kiki Palmer, and Meghan Trainor will spin the fateful wheel. And then the conversation will begin.
Also, we're going to have a ton of amazing guests, because you don't want to just hear us two all the time, do you? Yes, you do. And somehow we're going to start with something like Spider and end with, well, when was your last nervous breakdown?
Listen to the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
lies, exploitation, and the American dream turned nightmare. This is Big Sugar, a deep dive into the inner workings of the sugar industry. I'm Celeste Headlee, and in a new podcast, I'm investigating a true crime story like no other about the men who risked their lives to cut sugarcane. In Big Sugar, from iHeartMedia, Imagine Audio, and the teams at Weekday Fun and Novel, I'll unravel a decades-long fight to get justice.
If they were right, then these workers were owed tens of millions of dollars in extra wages.
I felt ashamed as an American.
And the lengths people will go to hide the truth.
The sugar lobby is one of the most powerful lobbies in the country.
They have boatloads of money.
Listen to Big Sugar on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the first time ever, I want something that Facebook is doing to succeed. Like, I'm actually like,
I'm right there with you.
Let's do it. Because it is.
Let's do it.
I almost said tweeted again. What are we saying? Threaded? Is that what we're saying?
I like to say threatened. I threatened.
I don't think that works. That doesn't fit.
Okay. I posted a threat.
I don't think that's good. I don't think that's what Masseri wants. I don't think he likes that. I think he's going to remove that. That's going to be an instant removal.
Might be.
I threaded or posted or whatever the fuck I did. Yeah, I was like, this is a real, the enemy of my enemy is my friend situation. And I really do feel strongly. It's like such a strange sensation to be like, I want this to work pretty badly. Like, I liked Twitter when it was good. Like, there were parts of Twitter actually before the Nazis really went. I mean, they were always kind of going wild on Twitter, but there was a period, like, you know, during the Trump era, at the beginning of Trump, it really got fucking bad on Twitter. Like, it was unfun. And I would say since then, it's been pretty unfun.
Yeah.
But before that, it was like a lot of fun. Like, you could have a lot of fun on Twitter, and there's still pockets of it. Like, I definitely want a place where, like, people are going to make stupid, weird internet jokes. Like, I would say the thing I miss most about looking at Twitter is people making fucking weird, like, drill shit that's just, you honestly can't make the joke in any other way. It's just that particular forum, you know?
Yeah.
So I want it to win, but, like, also I hate myself because I know it means Mark Zuckerberg gets more of my data and more of my time.
To me, this is like there's a two-part equation. Okay. Like, the first part of the equation is Twitter needs to die. Like, it just needs to completely disappear from, like, polite society. And that's step one. Step two is we will bring all of the criticism and all of the scrutiny to Threads that we had previously been bringing to Threads on all the other social networks. Like, I truly believe there will be time. I also think that Meta has learned a lot of lessons from its previous 5 or 6 years of disasters. And so hopefully they'll be able to mitigate some of those problems. But, like, it's let's just get the order of operations straight. Job one is to kill Twitter.
Right. Yes. And I think pretty good job so far.
Amazing job.
But, like, obviously, from an audience size, and I was going to say, Zuckerberg posted this thing about how they haven't even done any, like, promotions yet, which I think is an interesting, it's kind of like he's saying, like, you know, we did 100 million just by turning it on. What would happen if we actually told other people about it? Like, you know, I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
Like,
what would happen if we tried? Yeah.
So what will happen? I think if they can get the rest of the Twitter people, but can you have a Twitter competitor or killer without the Nazis? I guess that's the ultimate question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Instagram's community guidelines are actually much more restrictive than Twitter. So, you know, Josh, you've probably been wondering why you're not able to post whole on Threads. And the reason
it keeps getting bounced.
It keeps getting flagged. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the reason is, you know, you can't post nudity on Instagram, and so you can't post it on Threads. So, I mean, look, they make decisions I disagree with. They gave RFK Jr. his account back just because he ran for president. So I'm sure there's going to be problematic actors on there. But, you know, it's going to be much better, I think, than it was on Twitter.
So it's funny because on Blue Sky, I posted something about, like, there's some conversation going on about moderation, right? And it was like, the Blue Sky people have been very, like, weirdly cagey. They're good. I mean, they want to moderate the bad shit out of there, but they've been kind of cagey and careful about how they talk about it. And I'm like, I was like, I don't understand, like, Instagram, which people fucking love, is, like, one of the craziest moderation situations I've ever experienced. Like, you can literally, like, get your shit taken off of Instagram for like saying, like putting the word dead in a post or something. Like it is, I don't even mean in text. I mean like in an image. Like if the word, people like are crossing out words like in their posts because they don't want to get like dinged and have their shit pulled down. And yet, weirdly, it's a very enjoyable experience. Like I look at Instagram all the time and I know like, well, how come I can't see nudity or how come I, you know, can't hear people talking about like killing people or whatever. I'm like, wow, this sucks. My two favorite things, nudity and murder threats. You know, of course I don't follow a lot of political accounts on there. I follow some meme accounts, but like, yeah, it's fucking enjoyable. And it's like, maybe discourse doesn't have to be like this free speech shit is overrated basically. Right.
Well, that's basically what they've said is, you know, because all the journalists are sort of like, yay, a place to post our links and do journalism. And Adam Mosseri did this sort of widely discussed post where he said, we know there's going to be journalism on here, but we're doing nothing to encourage it. We do not want to be like the throbbing heartbeat of the daily news cycle. And honestly, I think that that is mostly just marketing, right? Because they have no control over what people are posting. And if people want to share news there, people are going to share news there.
Right.
But I do think it speaks to the fact that they like the fact that news has become a much smaller part of their products over time, and they hope that continues.
You know, I mean, I think what he was saying in some way was more like a signal to like the market than anything else. It's like,
yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they do this already. I don't know how much Meta is suppressing like news content or I don't know. Are they down? Are they? Do you think they would go so far as to downrank journalists or to like suppress news links that are being widely shared?
Yeah, I mean, so one thing that they will absolutely just have to decide is what kind of weight are they going to give to links as they are shared, right? Some networks are sort of treat those as neutral, and other networks say like, no, like we want you to stay on the site. And so if it includes a link, we're going to show it less.
Right.
So that is something that they could do. You know, it may be that this winds up not being a great place to share news. But, you know, again,
sorry,
I think that...
Did you say nudes? Because yeah. So far, I'm batting zero on that. I've been just whole, nonstop, whole posting, just getting rejected. But
yeah, I'm talking about the news. Yeah. You know, but again, if... I think that even though they say they don't want it to replace Twitter's function as kind of the like the newsroom of the world, I think if it became the newsroom of the world, they would find a way to get excited about it because
right.
At the end of the day, they want what everyone else wants, which is status and money. And if they can get status and money from being the world's newsroom, they will be the world's newsroom.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it seems to be trending at least in the direction that it has the same basic functionality as Twitter if you are a person who does news. Like, you can go on here yeah. and like post a news link and it doesn't like, as far as I know, it's not like knocking them down a peg or something. It seems like they're just links.
Right.
I hear that there are like right wing people on it. I have not seen any really. I went to ban or sorry, not ban to block some people who I did not definitely not want to see who are on it. Like George Santos, for instance, who I don't need to hear anything from him whatsoever.
Oh, really? You don't like a gay elected officials, Josh?
What I hate most is his gayness. No, I I love that he's gay. I hate everything else.
You're an ally to our community.
I'm big on his. A big fan of his being gay. Just not a fan of all the other stuff. If he was simply just gay, that would be great. He's so much more complex than that, and I think that's true of many in the community. Honestly, when you think
that's
about
so
it,
so true. It's so true.
It's a diverse and complex community of people who are, you know, some people are gay, some people are gay, and a bunch of other stuff. Like George Santos. No, but like, but yeah, but like, is it, do you get a sense that like the Truth Social folks or the Twitter people are like flying over to like occupy their space, or are they like, hey, soon we can have all of Twitter, which they don't realize how bad it will actually be?
Oh, I mean, well, the best was that some of Elon's minions, like the people who were falling all over themselves to suck up to Elon when he took over Twitter, there was kind of this question of how long will they be able to resist joining Threads, because it's clear that that's where the action is going to be.
Yeah.
And number one on that list was Jason Calacanis, who's his advisor to Elon. And Jason didn't even make it 48 hours before he joined Threads to, you know, take some pot shot at Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
So
to make fun of Zuckerberg, but like, you're here. You showed up.
Yeah. So it's like, even the people that are like, Elon is, you know, he's Mr. Business Genius and he's going to prove you all wrong. Even those people are ready to abandon ship. You know,
I am loving that shit. I have to say, from a crow eating perspective, it is a very delicious meal to witness. All right. So we really quickly, because we do have to wrap up. Although I am enjoying it, I got to say, Casey, it is so fun to talk to you. It is just like, it's just a giggle fest.
I love talking to you. It's a giggle fest. It is.
Give me a prediction. Lay it out. Where do you see this all headed? Give me the year ahead for Threads and Twitter.
So I predict that at this time next year, Threads will be the biggest text-based social network. Mm. And I think it will have largely supplanted the role that Twitter plays in the news ecosystem today. Mm. So that is my actual prediction.
Okay. You're feeling good about that. You can stand by that prediction.
I think it just, all the ingredients are in place and all of the right people want it to happen. It would be one thing if only Meta wanted this. Like, what Meta wants actually matters the least. What matters is that the user base wants, the fact that like you, a person, you know, you've been very critical of Facebook. I've been very critical of Facebook. I talked to other reporters. They're all saying the same thing, which is thank God this thing is here.
So, yeah.
If those people who are the most likely to have said, screw this whole thing, are all in, I think it wins.
It is very deranged. It is a little bit of a... So okay, where's Twitter in a year from now?
Twitter is going to be like... here's the thing. The app will still exist. I think... I'm not sure that I would confidently predict this, but I think there's a very good chance that it is bankrupt. And I think that a year from now, Elon Musk is seriously exploring how to unwind his ownership of the app.
Yeah. I mean, that checks out for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this all sounds right to me. I have very little to disagree with. I feel like, I don't know, I would be more sad, I guess. Like, here's the thing. A part of me is just like recognizes that if we want to use a social media platform of some type, it's not, I mean, I understand the whole like Fediverse and the Mastodon thing, and that's cool. Like, if they can make it work well, I'm totally into it and I'll keep posting there or whatever. But like, I think we all acknowledge, like, whether it's Jack Dorsey or Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg, like one of these people that we probably wouldn't love to hang out with in person, wouldn't make a best friend and have nefarious kind of shitty reasons for doing the business they do, are going to run the social network, whatever one it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be some person like that. So I feel like, you know, I'm kind of like, yeah, do I care if in this case, like, I clearly don't care in the case of Instagram, do I care in this case if like it's owned by Mark Zuckerberg versus Elon Musk? Well, and like,
but we haven't even talked about the fact that it's decentralized, which is the actual answer to that question. Like, you're going to be able to set up your own server and you're going to be able to have your posts appear on Threads, even though Meta doesn't operate it.
They say that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a common belief that they are doing that partially because if they basically make it a part of the Fediverse, right, is what would happen. They can basically get away with doing whatever moderation they want. And they say, hey, no, you can post here. You can set up your own server and your own rules and blah, blah, blah. And then they don't have to worry about being the arbiters of free speech or whatever on their owned and operated.
Which is a good answer to that problem, by the way.
It's a great answer. And it's the one we're all looking for, I think. I also feel like, I don't know, it's a little bit like, if nobody cares that much about the moderation, which I feel like it's possible, like maybe nobody really at this point will care that much.
People care.
Like, you don't hear the right wing people being like, Instagram suppressing my, I mean, Donald Trump Jr. I think did once, but.
Look, I write about content moderation all the time. This is such a perfect all-time case study because people are leaving Twitter because it did not have content moderation. Right. Like, the failure of content moderation on Twitter created the opportunity for Threads to get 100 million users. Right.
100%.
In
2 days. I mean, yeah, the idea that whatever, well, first off, I mean, it wasn't a free speech utopia. It was the speech that Elon Musk likes best.
Right.
Which is like weirdly anti-Semitic and racist and like really bad.
Transphobic, bad. A lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Super transphobic, like just fucking weird, bad. Like, you could just not say shit. You know, if I were the richest man in the world.
Yeah.
If which I think he is now currently, I would simply not post my personal feelings about things on the internet. I would just keep them to myself because I could just change those things. I could just literally buy the thing and get rid of it if I didn't like it. You know,
like, I mean, this is what we all think, but all the billionaires do wind up posting. I think it's one of the only ways they can feel anything.
Jeff Bezos,
you
know,
after
post,
you become a certain rich.
You saw the what do you drink for a hangover? What do you eat for after a hangover? Yeah. Asking for a friend or whatever. I'm sorry, dude. You got to get another fucking hobby. Like, you do not need to be on social media. You're Jeff Bezos. Like, buy a country. Like, I don't know. Like, find something fun to do. It's crazy.
Josh, you know how that one episode of House of the Dragon, the, like, princesses, like, put on disguises and go mingle with the common folk?
Yeah.
Like, that's what Jeff Bezos was doing.
It's also
doing.
Kind of the plot of Aladdin, I now realize.
And it was also famously the plot of Aladdin.
Yeah.
And I hope that the creators of House of Dragon answer for
you
that
think
in court.
Yeah, seriously, they need to be brought to justice. Sorry, just to be clear, you think they like it because they get to mingle with the commoners. Is that what you're saying?
They want to feel something. Once you're a certain level of rich, you cannot feel anything anymore. There are no consequences. You can do whatever you want. There are no consequences.
They can pay to feel something. They can get someone to make them feel something. I don't know, man. Maybe. That's interesting.
No, they want that little hit. It's the adrenaline rush of, I'm going to go step out on the public square and maybe they're going to throw eggs at me, but maybe they'll think I'm really cool.
I guess
cool.
So. Man, it'd be so cool if they had something interesting to say. Imagine if they stepped out of the public square and said cool shit. Like, it's kind of hard to imagine, right?
Like what? Like, man, the Ramones were great in 1978. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know because I'm not them, but I would definitely say something other than trans people shouldn't exist or whatever the thing they came up with. Like, or what should I drink? What should I eat for a hangover? Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's got to be some other thing to say.
Yeah.
Anyhow. All right. I think we got to wrap up here. I think we've devolved into, I don't know what we've devolved into. Casey, as always, this has been absolutely delightful.
So fun.
And educational.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got a lot of information, but it was presented in a way that was digestible and enjoyable. And I think, like, that's one of your talents. You can just put it out there, but people are like, that's great. I get it. I understand it. Casey made me understand.
I love it. I love what I do. It's so
fun. You're the best. You'll have to come back again in a year. No, you're going to come back sooner than in a year, but for sure, we should mark this date down. We're going to revisit this in 1 year, and we can get to see how close you were on your predictions, which I think will be really exciting.
I love it. Let's find out.
All right. And then in the meantime, follow Casey on Threads. He's at Crumbler. Is it Crumbler?
It's not great. It's not great. I really should have just gotten my full name.
Is it C Rumbler? Is that it's Crumbler?
It's C Rumbler. Yeah. I wanted a username that rhymed with Tumblr, which was very hot in 2010 when Instagram launched. So
and you can also follow me. I'm just Joshua Topolsky, because I just decided at one point I was gonna use my full giant horrible name on every social network. Which was ultimately
genius,
a mistake.
Though.
But
no, it's good.
It is what it is. And yeah, check us out on Threads. We're dropping some sick posts on there, both of us. I mean, just incredible content.
Yeah, tell us which way you put this milk in your
cereal.
Yeah,
we're like, I just dropped a big one. It's a hot dog, a sandwich. It's getting a lot of heat right now. It got a lot of, I think Fuck Jerry actually just stole it and posted it on their thread. So it's... It's really heating up out there. Oh, fuck. Thank you so much. This is super fun. You got to come back and do it again.
Yeah, happy anytime.
Well, I think we've learned a lot here. I think we've learned a lot on the show. I think what we now know is that if Casey and I podcast together, we will giggle like little children for most of it. And I'm assuming annoying the listener tremendously. But also, I think we've solved the riddle of social media. And that's huge for us. I think we have personally made some great strides in helping humanity move towards the next stage of evolution, where we will all become glowing orbs of pure thought and communicate by telepathy. Or we'll just all be using Threads, you know, which is almost the same thing. Well, that is our show for this week. We will be back next week with more What Future. And as always, I wish you and your family the very best.
On the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda. Join Raven Simone and her partner Miranda Mayday as they and celebrity guests like Demi Lovato and Meghan Trainor engage in unusual conversations.
Every episode, we'll spin a wheel of random words from things like animosity to something like zodiac, and whatever it lands on, that's what we're going to talk about for around an hour.
Think we can't do it? Well, then you've never heard us talk.
Listen to the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lies, exploitation, and the American dream turned nightmare. This is Big Sugar, a deep dive into the inner workings of the sugar industry. I'm Celeste Headlee, and in a new podcast, I'm investigating a true crime story like no other about the men who risked their lives to cut sugarcane. From iHeartMedia, I'll unravel a decades-long fight to get justice. Listen to Big Sugar on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Carol Fisher, and I'm hosting a podcast called The Girlfriends. Back in the 1990s in Las Vegas, a few of us dated the most eligible bachelor in town, Bob.
He spoke several languages. He did medical missionary work, and he was Jewish.
He was perfect on paper.
But he wasn't. He really wasn't.
He choked her to the point she went unconscious.
Bob could lie about anything.
It only takes the one time and somebody ends up dead.
Unfortunately for Bob, us girlfriends know how to fight back.
I wanted him to pay for his crime. He needed to be put to justice.
I'll be honest with you, if I saw him right now, I'd spit on him.
I would call him and I would say, I know you killed my sister. I will always hound you and haunt you.
You can listen to The Girlfriends on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.